Morning, everybody. Great to see you. Darla is going to read God's word to you this morning. If you haven't got a Bible in front of you and you'd like one, just put your hand up and the stewards will come and bring one round to you. I encourage you to keep it open throughout the course of this talk. Darla's actually going to be reading from the New Living Translation. Church Bibles are NIV, but it's all the same stuff. So do follow it along.
Church. So the reading is taken from Ephesians 4 and it's verses 1 to 16, which you can see on the screen as well. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults, because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens, so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be mature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love.
Great. Thank you very much, Darla, for reading God's words to us. And so this morning we have the joy and the privilege and the opportunity of exploring this passage from Ephesians together. The text that we have just read is part of what was originally a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Ephesus, an important city in Asia Minor, which is now modern-day Turkey. It was also quite likely a circular letter that was intended to be read out not only in Ephesus, but also in other early New Testament churches as well. Now, Paul's purpose in writing this letter was not to correct any particular false teaching or heresy, as was the case in some of his other letters. Instead, his purpose here in Ephesians was to expand the horizons of his readers so that they might better understand the dimensions of God's eternal purpose and grace and come to fully appreciate the high goals that God has for his church. And so our hope today is to share in this same purpose. And my prayer is that as we go from here today, we go with these three things. Can you put it up for me, Hazel, because it's not going, or just put the mouse on? There we go. My prayer is that we go from here with a clear understanding of God's heart and vision for his church, Church Capital C. That we have a shared sense of God's heart and vision for us here at NMBC. And that we have a new feeling of collective excitement and anticipation as to exactly what this might feel like, look like, and become like for us moving forwards together as God's family here in this place. That's what we're aiming at today. So let's begin with what this passage tells us about God's heart and vision for his church. For the church in Ephesus and his church in general. And there are four key elements that radiate out from this text. God wants his church to know, firstly, its identity. Secondly, its calling. Thirdly, its gifting. And fourthly, its mission. Let's begin with identity. And identity is crucial because understanding who we are is essential in helping us to understand how we should live. What does this text have to say about the identity of God's church? If you've got it open in front of you, Bible or phone, that's great. Firstly, as we can see on the screen, God's church is described as the body of Christ. It's a body that he makes fit together perfectly with Jesus Christ as the head. It is a physical body, but it's a body that is united in spirit. God's church is humble, gentle, and patient. It's a church full of love. And which, as a result, is a church full of people who are ready to forgive one another's faults and imperfections. The desire of a healthy church is to grow more and more like Christ, to manifest the fruits of the Spirit and to be united in peace. Does that sound good? I think it does. And it's the identity God gives to his church. Well, if the church's identity is like the spiritual DNA that God gives it, then the church's calling is a bit like the stamp or the seal that he places upon it. And as we look at this passage, we see that the church's calling comes, of course, from God himself. It's a calling to a life worth living, a purpose-driven life, a life in all its fullness, as Jesus himself says in John 10:10. God's church is called to a glorious hope for the future. We're reminded in the Gospels, the church is called to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. We sang about that a minute ago. A city on a hill that cannot be hidden. God's church is called to be a source of blessing and to carry hope for the nations. It's a church of one faith, one Lord, one God. A people alive and baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That sound good? It does. And that is the calling God gives to his church. Shaped by God, called by God, the church is also gifted by God. God gives his church special gifts through the generosity of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, these gifts are embodied in many different types of people. The prayer we heard earlier reinforced that. These gifts are to be used responsibly to do God's work and to build up his church. They're gifts of faith and knowledge, gifts of heart and gifts of head. They're gifts which bring stability, but also which promote unity from within the richness of diversity. Do those gifts sound good? They do. They do, and that is the gifting God gives to his church. So identity, calling, gifting, but to what purpose? What does this passage tell us about the mission that God has for his church? Well, thankfully, if you're a film buff, it's not Mission Impossible. None of us are Tom Cruise. Instead, it's mission maturity. God wants us to be mature in the Lord, not tossed and blown about by false teaching, tricks, and temptations. Our mission towards maturity means speaking the truth in love and growing to be more like Christ. In other words, being holy because he is holy. The passage makes it clear that we have a missional mandate to proclaim the gospel and to love and serve one another in order that the whole body, not some, not part, not most, but the whole body is both healthy and growing. Does that sound like a good mission? I think it does. And that is the mission God gives to his church. So how are we doing? Are we encouraged by that? Ira's smile is an encouraging smile. Thank you, Ira. I'm encouraged. I'm not only encouraged by Ira's smile, I'm encouraged by what God has to say to us about that and by how this foundational teaching about God's heart and vision for the church in Ephesus and his church generally, capital C, resonates with God's heart and vision for us here at NMBC. Now, we stand at a time where we're looking towards the future. And so it may seem strange to begin by looking back to the past. But as any good historian, and we have a few of them amongst us, will tell you, understanding the past is the key not only to making sense of the present, but is also important in seeking to act wisely in the future. So let's begin with our identity. When I first joined the church over 20 years ago, the NMBC vision statement was as follows: to be a Christ-centered community which practices a ministry of encouragement. And I think that's probably why I joined this church. Because the vision of practicing a ministry of encouragement resonated with my heart and with my gifting. Encouragement is one of my primary spiritual gifts. And in fact, over the course of my ministerial training, I grew to understand that whatever direction my future ministerial path might take, God was calling me to become a Christ-centered minister who practices a ministry of encouragement. I wrote my exit piece of my ministerial training around that theme. And so in this way, my own ministerial vision has grown out of the church that I've been part of all these years, and it is the vision that underpins all I seek to do. Yet whilst I believe that to a greater or lesser extent our present identity as a church is rooted in past experiences, I also believe our identity is dynamic, and that over the course of time, God helps us to grow, to develop, and to change. We know that God loves us exactly as we are. We've thought about that already this morning. But we also know that he loves us so much that he does not want us to stay that way. Some parts of our identity are fixed and should not be forgotten. But overall, our identity as a church is not static. Our identity should be Christ-focused and Spirit-informed, and we should always be seeking to move towards greater maturity, towards the whole measure of the fullness of Christ that Paul refers to. Now, as a Christ-centered community that was practicing a ministry of encouragement, in 2009, 15 years ago, NMBC adopted a new way of expressing its identity. This: a group of ordinary people on a journey, exploring, experiencing, and expressing the heart of God. As a group of ordinary people, the collective emphasis of the church's identity remained present, but now there was a sense of progress and forward movement, being on a journey, a sense of adventure, exploring, of discipleship, experiencing, and of evangelism, expressing. And last year, when our church profile went out as part of our search for a new pastoral team leader, these words were the ones we continued to use to describe our identity. And it is a great identity. It's an identity I'm comfortable with, and which I suspect most of us here would probably say we're happy with, but it isn't necessarily an identity that will always best describe who we are moving forwards. In the years ahead, as we continue to grow and change, as we collectively move forward together towards greater maturity in the Lord, we're likely to need to be brave and to move beyond the comfortable. Jesus will doubtless continue to develop our identity and to stretch our faith. We'll think a bit more about that in a few minutes. Does that sound good? I think it does. Even if it doesn't necessarily sound easy. Our collective identity lies at our core, but our collective calling is also crucial. Crucial to understand and crucial for us to live out. Back to the future again. Back in the late 1990s, NMBC recognized that discipleship was at the very center of its calling. And indeed, discipleship remains as one of NMBC's five core values today. Throughout the decades, NMBC has had a calling to be a disciple-making church, to model discipleship through obedience, through learning, through teaching, through lived experience. And discipleship, the Jesus way, flows out of a life of love, love for God and love for others, a love generously expressed through service and through sacrifice. And so as we sit here today, the calling that we collectively recognize amongst us is to love God and live generously. Sorry, I've gone one too far ahead. Can you lift me back up, Hazel, please? Thank you. Love God and live generously. This calling is based on the great commandment of Matthew 22, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And on the great commission that we heard about last week from Matthew 28, go out into all the world, preaching the good news and making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those are Jesus' words and Jesus' calling. Do they sound good? Of course they do. But Jesus may, of course, also be calling us to more. And we'll think about that in a couple of minutes as well. Jesus may well be calling us to more because collectively he has given us a great many gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, we have them all in our congregation here at NMBC, and that is a tremendous blessing. We have fantastic musicians to lead us in songs of praise and worship. We have artists bursting with creativity. We have tremendously committed and gifted children's leaders and young people's leaders. We have a talented and passionate group of young people themselves. NMBC has a wise, dedicated, and experienced team of elders and deacons, gifted to lead and to oversee the many different areas of church life. But we also have many, many more who are gifted to serve behind the scenes, or who indeed use their gifts in ways which are never seen. We have a faithful, faithful core of people who have served in this church for decades, always reliable, never complaining, continuously blessing, blessing not only those within our own church family, but also those on the fringes or the so-called outside. And let us not forget the gift of prayer. If you are a prayer, if you're someone who intercedes on behalf of others, prays for members of the church family, prays for the church leaders, prays for the sick, for the lonely, for the grieving, prays for the stressed and the anxious and the broken, prays for our community, prays for our mission partners, for our nation, and for the world. If you're someone who prays for repentance, for revival, for renewal, if you're someone who comes here early on a Sunday morning, or in the evening, or on Zoom midweek, or with your Bible open in front of you on your own at home, thank you. Thank you for using an essential and perhaps the essential gifting amongst us. Listening to God and speaking with God are at the heart of any relationship with God. And it is relationship with the living God that lies at the heart of our mission as a church. If you've been here on Sundays over this past month alone, you've seen this mission lived out with your very eyes. You've seen people being baptized into the worldwide family of the church. You've heard people publicly declaring their faith and testifying to their relationship in the living Lord Jesus. You've witnessed new people coming into covenant relationship as members of NMBC. You've been stirred by the way that last Sunday, the group of teenage boys and those from the Alpha Course supported and prayed for Isaac, for John, and for Charles. You've been invited to love all and serve all in the Wimbledon queue. You've been asked to pray for the Bolivian young people in the Operation Restoration Homes. Mission amongst us. Mission on our doorstep. Mission across the world. All mission is God's mission. Mission is God's heart for us here at NMBC. That sound good? It does. But once again, I believe there's more to come. Now, I hope as I share and speak about these things, there are some of you here listening who feel excited. You're all being pretty well behaved so far. Wasn't like that in my classes when I was a school teacher, I tell you. Some of you, however, may feel a little daunted. That's okay too. We're in this together, and with Jesus alongside us, as well as in front of us and behind us, we can move forwards confidently without getting bogged down in the detail. One of my favourite pieces of spiritual wisdom comes from Bear Grylls, who I've recently discovered is not only a survival expert and a tennis fan, seen in the Royal Box this week, but is also somewhat of an underrated theologian. Bear says this: always keep the big picture in mind. You are greatly loved by Jesus, and your job is to love him and others in return. The rest is detail. I have to say, I think that's a pretty good summary of our identity, calling, gifting, and mission. So let's keep that in mind as we look towards the future. And let's do that together now. Let's conclude by imagining together what God's heart and vision for NMBC might be moving forwards. As you may know, an image of God's heart hangs here on a wall upstairs in the beach room. It's where the youth often meet. If you haven't been up there recently, I'd encourage you to do so. This was a painting done by Lisa Trend a number of years ago, a painting of God's promise of a new heart and a new spirit for his people, as expressed in God's word, Ezekiel 36, 26. But as we stand on the threshold of our future, God's people here in this place, I want to share with you three other prophetic images which I believe God has given us. Images which depict both already who we are and what the Holy Spirit is already doing amongst us, but more than that, images which speak prophetically of God's heart and vision for us as a church moving forwards. Images which represent things we're already starting to see, but where I believe God has more in store for us. First image. I call it the wall of welcome. It's an image of the wall that greets us as we arrive through the Kingston Road entrance into the foyer. It's an image I've put up on the screen before when speaking, but it's an image that will be more important than ever for us moving forwards. I believe this wall of welcome is a prophetic statement, not only of God's welcoming heart towards all who walk through these doors, but also of our desire to be a people who demonstrate God's warm welcome in both word and action. But that's not all. The wall of welcome also reflects our ever-increasing international identity. The word welcome is written in multiple languages. It speaks in multilingual fashion of God's mission to the nations and our calling to welcome those of every tribe, nation, and language, and to be sent out to minister to the nations. Nations that we have here on our doorstep, nations across London, nations across the world. Situated in an area with a very significant East Asian and South Asian community, NMBC now has a Korean evangelist and an international congregation. But this is yet to be truly represented in our church membership role, in our church leadership team, or in our preaching and leading team on a Sunday morning. God has more for us here in this area, more for us to do in terms of international hospitality, invitation and integration, and more for us to become a truly intercultural church. And we'll all have our part to play. It's the first image. Here's our second. Again, I've shown and referred to this image on at least one previous occasion, but I do so now because I believe more than ever before it prophetically portrays God's heart and vision for us at NMBC moving forwards. You may not be able to see the detail, but let me explain. This painting portrays Psalm 24, a great psalm which declares the Lord's sovereignty over the earth, over his creation. It's a psalm which invites us to draw closer to God, to be pure and holy before him, to look up, to ascend his holy mountain, and to seek his face. This psalm combines both the old and the new. The gates, the ancient doors, are invited to lift up their heads, to lift up their gaze, and to welcome the King of glory, the Lord Almighty. I believe that this is God's heart and God's vision for us moving forwards. For NMBC, more than ever before, to be a people who seek the Lord Almighty, who welcome him amongst us, who praise him and who worship him. But before we move on, let's not miss what may appear to be a small detail in the painting, but something that I believe is very significant in prophetic terms. Look carefully at the bottom left-hand corner. Here's a close-up of this part of the picture. What do you see? What I see is a child pulling on an adult's hand, a young person hungry not to be led, but to lead. To lead those around them, whether senior in years or not, closer to God. To join those already up there on the hilltop in praising and worshiping the Lord. We are a multi-generational church. We have great children and young people, and we have a very good number of them amongst us. And they need our help. They need us to give them opportunities. They need us to allow them to lead us, to encourage us, and to inspire us. It's great that we've got a couple of them sat here alongside their mum, Krista. Last Sunday, we heard 13-year-old John witnessing from here at the front to his not-yet Christian parents. And I believe God has more in store for us in this area as long as we let him, as long as we let them lead us in worship, in learning, and in love. And again, we will all have our part to play. Two powerful images shared, one more to go. The third image, can you pop it up for me, please, Hazel? Thank you. Third image is not of another image, but of an object that is still work in progress, but an object that many of us have played a part in helping to create. It's our worship weave. As explained by Linda several months ago, and currently with Lisa Trend for completion and hanging, watch this space. Why is this piece prophetic? Why does this help depict God's heart and vision for NMBC moving forwards? Three reasons, I believe. Firstly, it's a collective piece of work. Just as Christ's body, the church, is knitted together and made up from many different parts, called to contribute and to serve by using their unique and different gifts. So this weave comes together from many different pieces of cloth. Each chosen, each made unique by someone from this church family, bringing it and adding it to the whole work. the first reason. Secondly, written on the pieces of cloth that make up this weeb are Bible verses, promises, spiritual truths given by God to us to encourage our hearts and for us to share and ourselves use to encourage others and bear witness for God's glory. This is God's rich tapestry, one that represents that he has given us a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Thirdly, and finally, the pieces of cloth that make up this weave aren't new. They're not expensive like that handbag or that car or that Roger Federer signed tennis ball. They aren't particularly beautiful in themselves. They've seen something of life. They've been around the block as far as pieces of cloth go, but they're not done yet. They have a legacy to leave and a significance that still speaks. If that's you, if you're one of those older pieces of cloth, if you've served faithfully over many years, day in, day out, then I believe this word is for you. God is not done with you yet. In fact, this time which stands ahead is a crucially important time. It's a time for you to be significant in the life of this church, to play your part in passing on your wisdom, your skills, your faith to others, to hold loosely the baton you've been running with all these years and to pass it wisely and in timely fashion onto those who are to follow. You've run a great race. You've kept the faith. You've been a wonderful example, and you continue to be so. But you don't need to run yourself into the ground. It's good to be willing and ready to pass the baton on and then to sit down at the Lord's feet and to take a rest. And we all have our part to play in this. We'll all have our part to play in this because we collectively are God's church. We're not all ministers, but we are all called to minister. Next slide, please, Hazel. New Malden Baptist Church was, is, and will be a church of every member ministry. It's a church where we all share an identity in Christ and where wherever we sit in the theological spectrum, we all believe in one faith, one hope, one baptism, one Lord. It's a church where we are all called to follow and to imitate Christ, to listen to and to be led by the Holy Spirit, to be faithful in reading and proclaiming the truth of God's word, to grow together in love and maturity, and to collectively discern the mind of Christ. NMBC is a church full of God-given gifting and godly people, some who use their gifts to lead from up front, some who serve behind the scenes, some who listen and pray, and who help in ways that are never seen. Never seen by anyone apart from God, of course. NMBC is a church of God's mission, a mission of rescue, of restoration, of renewal, and of revival, a mission of shared collective ministry. I leave you with my favorite definition of ministry, not from Bear Grylls this time, but from Warren Wiersbe, pastor and well-known author of Christian books and commentaries. He says this: ministry takes place when divine resources meet human need through loving channels for the glory of God. May we all be loving channels for God's divine resources, for his glory both now and into the future, as we move forwards together in his name. Let's pray. You won't be able to read the words that are up on the screen, but I've put it there symbolically. They come from a prayer that I will read for us. It's called the Brendan Covenant. Let's pray. Lord, we will trust you. Help us to journey beyond the familiar and into the unknown. Give us the faith to leave old ways and break fresh ground with you. Christ of the mysteries, can we trust you to be stronger than each storm we face? We choose to live beyond regret and let you recreate our lives together. We know we will see new things birthed if only we trust you. Amidst all the uncertainty, we believe you will make a way for us and provide for us if only we trust in you. We know that our times are always in your hand and that you will lead us in the dark times if only we trust in you. We will believe you for our future, chapter by chapter, until all the story is written. Lord, we will trust you. We accept the responsibility. We will hear and obey and trust it is your voice we hear. The call of the Spirit, the cry of the bird of heaven. This is a yes to risky living. Amen.